This is KDNK Carbondale Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. And today, Thursday, 4 o'clock, you are listening to Everything Under the Sun. This is Skylar, your host, and we have a very special guest today. Megan, do you want to introduce yourself?
I'm Megan Weber. Some of you may know me from KDNK Airwaves, from ASYEP. Today I'm here to talk about literacy outreach.
Literacy outreach. There's a great story in the paper today by Annalise Gruder, one of the Sober Sun correspondents. So I guess to kick things off, what is literacy outreach and what's your role in it as well?
Good question. Literacy outreach is a nonprofit organization that is serves all of Garfield County. We have a very simple mission, and that is to teach literacy skills to adults. So that's pretty much what we do. And I'm the program coordinator. So.
And what, you know, within that, when you are teaching literacy skills, what does that look like on a session-to-session basis?
Well, so there's lots of different ways we do it. And literacy nowadays, we kind of define that as reading, writing, speaking, financial literacy, computer skills, and math, basic math. And that's is English literacy. And so we offer classes that instruct any one of those skills. And we can have a lot of, or most of our programs are one-on-one tutoring. So we have volunteers from the community actually doing the teaching with one student at a time. We also do small groups. So we might have one tutor working with 2, 3, 4 students at a time. Yeah, that's how it works. It's either you're either one-on-one or in a small group setting.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And I know it's been around for quite a while. Would you mind talking a little bit about who started the organization and when and why?
Well, I'm kind of the wrong person to ask because I've only been around for about a year. My boss, Martha Fredendahl, she's the executive director, and she's been running the organization for 35 years, and so I'm sure she could tell you who started it and where and when and why. I know that it was just born out of a need in the community in Garfield County for literacy. As simple as that. There are adults in our community who have not had basic literacy instruction in school, however they may wind up here. And it's 1985 or 6, whatever 40 years ago was, I guess that was been 1986, that it was started just for that reason. Yeah, and then Martha got involved 35 years ago, so it's too bad she's not here.
Wow.
She didn't want to come.
That's okay. Well, we're happy to have you here.
Thank
for
you.
Sure. So, you know, over that span, I know we were just talking about this a little bit before jumping on the air, but how has the need in the community changed with, as far as, like, who is looking for literacy skills?
Well, again, I personally have only been around for a year, but I will say that, so today, 99% of our clientele are the people who come looking for instruction are Spanish-speaking, and they're looking for English as a second language. We do have a few students who are native English speakers and just need help with reading and writing. But like I said, 99% of them are Spanish speakers looking for that ESL instruction. So
awesome.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, part of Annalise's article was talking about the call out for volunteer tutors. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. So basically, it's kind of astonishing how many people in our community are looking for classes. I just looked at our wait list yesterday, and I counted 99 people throughout the county.
Wow.
And I can even break that down for you if you want by community.
Sure. Yeah, that would be fantastic.
So I have 4 people waiting in Carbondale, 56 in Glenwood, 1 person in Newcastle, 10 in Silt, 17 in Rifle, and 11 in Parachute.
Wow.
That's 99 people total. So, I mean, most of them are in Glenwood, 56 individuals on our wait list in Glenwood right now. A lot of those people walked in quite a while ago, and we just haven't been able to find them a tutor.
Gotcha.
For whatever reason. A lot of these, I know I said, and that I told Annalise that a lot of these people work. You know, they have to work all day, and they don't get home until 5, 6 in the evening. And so sometimes that's a factor. Like, tutors say, oh, I don't want to be out until 6 in the evening to tutor. So, I kind of lost my train of thought.
No. That's super interesting. So I know you were saying that of the 99...
Yeah.
People on the wait lists, there aren't enough tutors for those. How many tutors do you have currently, and then how many people are also students of literacy outreach?
Of the tutors, like,
or just or, like, of the whole program?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think we have currently about 40 tutors and 50 students. So, like I said, most of Hi, Arthur.
Hi.
And sorry to interject here.
That's okay. Go for it.
One of our superstars and a KDNK extraordinaire, Arthur Cherith, just walked in.
Hi.
Hi, Arthur.
It's okay.
Welcome. All right, carry on.
Okay. So around 40 volunteers and around 50-ish students. That's because a few of the tutors work with more than one student, so we've got, you know, some classes going.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're just trying to kind of spread the word about that, and looking for people who might be interested in working with a student. And I can talk more about that if you want.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that was actually my next question, is like, what does it take to volunteer at literacy outreach?
We're not looking for qualifications, really. It can be anybody who can read or write and is over 18, because we don't work with children. We only work with adult students over 18, and so we just don't want someone under 18, you know, working with an adult student, just for safety reasons. So, but we're not looking for any qualifications beyond that. It takes about 3 hours a week to work with one student. That's 90 minutes of class time, and then say 30 to 40 minutes of prep, lesson prep, and then however long it takes you to travel from your house or wherever you're coming from to class and back.
Okay.
So all of that is 3 hours a week-ish.
And I'm sorry if you said this. Where are you based? Where are the classes?
So we have our pairs meet. So we will take, you know, we have a student waiting in Carbondale. We say, oh, we have a tutor in Carbondale who wants to be a tutor. Great. You guys live in the same community. You're both available at the same time a day. We'll try it out and pair you guys and see how it goes, how it works out. And like in Carbondale, most of our pairs here meet at the library.
Oh, cool.
We use all of the libraries in the county. We have an office in Glenwood that people can come to. There's other places around the county that we can set you up in. So,
okay.
Yeah, but we won't ask you to travel like outside of your community. Yeah.
I wanted to ask, do the tutors and the students, do they plan together? Like, are they connected and they make the plans together and kind of work within their schedules, or is there kind of like a framework?
Yeah, so I'm there at the first meeting to introduce them and say, like, this is, you know, introduce them and get them set up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I say, you know, you guys, they're pretty much, you know, they pick the time
and day that they want to meet. And if they can't make it or they need to change it, they can text each other or call each other and figure it out and just let me know.
Yeah, yeah, instead of like a third party managing it.
Yeah.
No, totally.
I mean, they're adults.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
How did this program start and how did you get involved in it?
Interesting. Skylar kind of asked.
Oh, shoot.
No, no, you're good.
That's okay.
And I said, I don't know because I wasn't even alive when it started. I'm not 40 yet. But I just, all I know is that 40 years ago, there was a big need in the community for people who couldn't read or write or didn't, you know, they lacked the skills to find work or maybe talk to their children's teachers or go to the doctor or whatever it may be, fill out, pay their bills, whatever it may be, because they lacked literacy skills.
Right.
And so that's why it was started.
Yeah.
I got involved just a year ago. I just was really inspired by what I saw and reached out to Martha, and now here I am.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Right on.
Awesome. And this quote by you, actually, Megan, really stood out to me, the poll quote, as you said earlier in Annalise's article. But you say, our favorite way to think about it is if you can read, then you can teach someone else to read.
Yeah, and that's really all it is. Pretty simple and cool, right? Like, if you can read a sentence, then you can teach someone else how to do it. And that's really all you need, as long as you have that sense of empathy and compassion and wanting to be there, then that's really all it takes.
That's cool. Do you, like, with the volunteers, what kind of, like, do you give them a curriculum?
Yeah.
And what does that look like?
So it depends on the student's need. We test all of the students when they come in. We figure out what their goals are, why are they here, what do they want to learn, and what level are they at, and then based on that test and that information, we can provide a curriculum for the tutor. So you really, I mean, lesson planners, everything we provide, so you don't have to have any teaching experience because we got you.
Nice.
So, yeah,
that's awesome. And if people are looking to volunteer, how should they do that?
So we are going to be having information sessions every Monday this August. So that's August 3rd, 10th, 17th, 24th, 31st at our office in Glenwood from 4:30 to 5:30. I can give you the address if you want. It's 1127 School Street in Glenwood by the Glenwood Elementary School. And if they can't make it to one of those sessions, perfectly welcome to reach out to us, give us a call and say, hey, I can't make it, but I really want to learn more. Can we talk? And I'll set up an appointment to meet with somebody. So our phone number, I think, is in there, but our phone number is 970-945-5282. And then they can email literacyoutreach@literacyoutreach.org, and we'll get their message. So,
awesome.
Yeah.
I believe all those contacts are also in the article.
Yeah, at the bottom of the article. They are.
Perfect. So you can find it in print.
Find it in print. And for those of you just joining us this afternoon, this is Everything Under the Sun. We are talking to Megan Weber, Program Coordinator of Literacy Outreach, about the program and about their search for volunteers.
Yeah. Come hang out with us and volunteer. And
come hang out.
Yeah. It's a fun time.
Yeah. And, you know, this may seem like an obvious question, and you touched on it a little bit, but, you know, what is the importance of both literacy in general in any community, but in our community, and also English literacy for people learning English as a second language in the Roaring Fork Valley?
Well, I mean, think about anything that you do on a daily life. I know you're a reporter, so you deal with literacy every single day.
I do.
But if you're not a reporter, still think of anything you do on a daily basis, whether that's reading your text messages, reading your email, going to the grocery store and reading the ingredients on a box of, I don't know, what do they sell at the grocery store that has ingredients on it?
Rice Krispies.
All right, there you go.
Anything. Going to the doctor, reading those flyers up on the doctor's, the walls of the doctor's office. that's why literacy is important, because every day, like, our world is so, everywhere you go, there's something to read.
Yeah.
Like, stop signs, you know, no turning left here.
Right.
Like, that's reading.
Voting. For jobs.
Exactly. Yeah. So, imagine if you didn't have the skills to do that.
Right.
Like, what would you do? And I mean, it's the same exact thing if someone comes here and they don't speak English and they can't read a job application,
right.
They need to be able to do that. So, so we're here to build those skills up in people so that they can get to the point where they can fill out a job application or talk to a doctor, or send their kids to school, that kind of stuff.
Sweet. Self-reliant.
Yeah.
I read in the article, and I thought this was really sweet, that people will have photo cards for people learning English, like photo cards, and people were learning like different plant names in Spanish too, and it sounded a lot like tutors were learning as well.
Yeah, a lot of our tutors will talk about how their students are teaching them too.
Yeah.
So it's cool. And that's my favorite part about it is... you kind of get to make a new friend, you make a new relationship.
Yeah.
My student that I work with has two little kids, and she brings them into the office, and I get to hang out with her kids.
Aww.
And her 7-year-old daughter taught me a new subtraction technique, and I was mind blown.
Wow.
I was like, oh my god, I never knew that.
You gotta show me after.
It was crazy.
Yeah, that was also something I found interesting. Well, just what you said earlier, but you know, not only is it reading and writing, but you also do math literacy.
Yeah.
And to like what level of math skills are you trying to teach?
Not very advanced, just basic math skills. We don't currently have any students who are looking for math instruction, but a lot of people have been coming and asking for financial literacy and computer skills.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, talk about the import. That's important now these days, too.
It is
that's
important.
For sure.
Just logging into your email, finding your paycheck, your pay stubs.
Yeah.
Setting up an appointment with the doctor, any appointment for anything, even buying a movie ticket.
Yeah, everything's online.
Yeah. So, computer skills and financial literacy are really in demand right now.
And, you know, you talked earlier a little bit about the change in demographics of the people looking for English literacy. Have there been trends of like the popularity, like the numbers of actual attendees or students, over the years?
I feel like since COVID, we've been very popular.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why do you think that would be?
I think life is more complicated now.
True.
But people just feel like they need these skills more.
Mm-hmm.
People feel like they, you know, they need to be skilled. And so I think they've been coming to us because hopefully we can help them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, a good chunk of this article was talking about the importance of allowing students to feel okay making mistakes.
Yeah.
Why is that important, and what are you trying to accomplish there through that kind of vibe?
Well, it just builds confidence. A lot of our students, when they come in for the first time, they feel really shy, you know, they're not sure, they don't have a lot of, like, even with someone like me, I speak Spanish. Even with me, they'll be really quiet, kind of reserved. But once they see that it's okay, that we're not going to get mad at them if they don't
score perfectly on a test or they don't pronounce a word right.
Do you have tests as well?
We do have tests.
Oh, really?
But they don't get, like, I mean, so they can see how well they do, but it's not like, oh, you got a 80, you know, you got a 55, you're a bad student, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's
reflection.
Just, yeah, so that they can see how they're doing. And it really, that actually, once they see, like, oh my God, I got a 90 on that test, like, their confidence just shoots up.
Give them a little star sticker.
Yeah. And so that's why, you know, it's important to make mistakes, especially when you're learning a language. Mm-hmm. I'm someone who learned a second language, and that's how you learn. I mean,
it's tough.
It's hard. Yeah. It's when you are in a community where people don't speak your language.
Right.
It's hard. It's scary. And you will make mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes. But, you know, I don't think, even in, like, an everyday conversation, like, no one's really going to get mad at you or,
right.
you know, if you say a word wrong.
It's more beating down on yourself and you're like, no, I did that wrong or did I do that right? And confidence.
Yeah exactly. So.
Totally. I'm curious, well, you said that you speak Spanish and learn Spanish. In Annalise's article, I think she says, or you say, that no Spanish language is required to teach English literacy to Spanish speakers.
Well, you'd be really surprised how well a lot of our pairs do when we have tutors who don't really speak Spanish and we have an English language learner. You'd be surprised at how well they do, you know, figuring it out. There's a lot of technology around available these days. Google Translate's gotten way better.
Nice.
You know, you'd be surprised how much you can get through by sitting down with someone and reading a children's book or sending a text message back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the people actually do pretty well once they get... They both have that confidence, again, that mm-hmm. confidence barrier to overcome because they're both nervous, they're both a little shy,
mm-hmm.
but they get over it and it's okay. Yeah,
that's awesome. What's been the biggest or several biggest success stories of people going through the program?
I mean, kind of like I said in there, like, it's really hard to just pick one because everybody has their own success story, and we've had a lot of people. One thing I forgot to mention that we offer that I can't believe I forgot to mention this is we offer citizenship exam preparation. So just the studying, if people need help studying for the English part of their exam, we help them with that. And we've had a lot of people get their citizenship in the last year that I've been working here. We've had several people get their citizenship, which is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are working on it. So
that's an awesome resource.
Yeah, you know, they can come and get help. But yeah, I mean, I also like just the stories that Annalise talked about in there. Like, we've had a lot of people who, like Marcelo and Emery, who she talks about.
That's cool.
They've been working together for over a year now. We have people like Jenny. She's been working with her students for several years. I call that a success. Like,
totally.
When you make that relationship with someone and then you see, oh, my student's actually learning. Like, we're friends and also they're learning.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm learning. Like, right. I call that a success story. So,
absolutely. Yeah.
No, I think the Emery Marcelo story is very cool. I know they went up Sopris together as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't invited to that.
Oh, no?
but that's cool that they're doing that together.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Also, you know, it strikes me as a good way to, like, build community apart and, like, build relationships and get to know people. And do you ever... I know you said, like, a lot of the sessions are one-on-one and they coordinate individually based on where they're based, but do you ever have, like, big get-togethers?
Yeah, we do. We have our student and volunteer appreciation party every year. We've been doing some little picnics out on the patio since it's summer. We're going to have our 40th birthday bash in August with a
with a grill, hot dogs, burgers, the works. So, yeah.
The works.
Yeah, and it's really, I really think that's a lot of fun. The tutors love it when they can come and meet other tutors and, and oh, what's your student working on? And how did you navigate this with your student? And they can talk about that. And yeah, so it's fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah, definitely a community.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And do you, you know, I know mostly based in the Valley right now. Do you know if you all would ever consider kind of expanding beyond that?
Well, so, yeah, we are just a Garfield County organization. You might know about English in Action.
Yes.
Yeah, they are kind of our Up Valley counterpart.
Okay, cool.
So, yeah, most of what we offer, they offer in, like, Aspen Basalt.
Okay.
And then there's another organization in Mesa County, and there's another one in Eagle County, like Vale, Eagle, Gypsum area.
Cool.
So we're not the only one.
Yeah. Around. That's, I bet that's cool. I mean, do you ever have, like, partnerships between the organizations?
We talk a little bit. Yeah. I mean, we definitely share tips and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, share, we definitely share people. Like, oh, you know, I have this tutor who's, or this person who's really interested in tutoring, but they don't live here. Would, you know, maybe they'd be interested in you. Or a student, like, I have a student, but we can't, we don't have a place for them. Can you take this student? And yeah, that kind of thing. We share people. So.
Share people.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I can't remember. How many more tutors do you guys need right now?
Well, I mean, so on our wait list, we have 99 people waiting for classes. Yeah. That doesn't mean we necessarily need 99 tutors.
Right, right.
But if 99 people said they wanted to volunteer, we wouldn't turn them away.
Right.
So.
Yeah, for sure. And can people volunteer for multiple of these organizations?
Yeah.
And, like, do you ever try to reach out to the organizations to get to encourage that kind of?
Yeah, I mean, there's other organizations around, High Country Volunteers, you know, they're a great resource for any organization that works with volunteers. Yeah, I mean, we don't really set a limit on that. We're like, because if someone comes and says, well, I'm retired and I have all the time in the world, we're like, great, here's five students. Like,
totally.
Just kidding, we wouldn't do that.
And we are almost out of time today. One person I did want to give a shout out to in the article is Jenny Zeta. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay.
Who has tutored literacy outreach for almost 3 decades.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about Jenny?
She's a friend of Martha's. I've met her a few times. She's a really smart person. really nice lady. She works with a group in Rifle. They work in the evenings at the Rifle Library, and she was at our student volunteer appreciation event with some of her students, and I didn't send you guys any of the pictures, but they were they're one of those groups that's super close. Big hugs for everyone.
Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Megan. Thank you, Arthur. We have 3 more seconds of the show.
Thank you, Skylar.
Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you.